absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Hello, everyone. Welcome once again. 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. The place to be is here with me. I am JT, a.k.a. the Master. And this is the Master Plan. On a fine, bright, clear day. Be right back. All right. Back. Like I said, it's a fine day. First of all, before I get any further into this program, I want to wish all the daddies out there happy Father's Day. This is June 15th, and it's time to salute the daddies of the world. Mommy's had their day. This is Daddy's Day. So all you ladies out there, all you kids out there that have a husband or a father, take care of him today as you do in every day. But this is his day. So whatever he wants to do, go play golf, be lazy and sit around the house, watch TV, sleep the whole day off, go off all by himself, this is his day. Let him be him for one day. As you know, I am JT, a.k.a. the Master. And the Master Plan is in effect right now. Number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220. It's sponsored by the Fantasy Sportsbook and Casino.com. Website where winners play and players win. Go to that website, put a wager on the World Cup, put a May wager on the tonight's game, because I want to talk about that for sure, because the fact is it could be a hit and quit it right now. So we have to wait and see. Come 8 o'clock this evening, if the San Antonio Spurs are going to close it out and send the Miami Heat home fishing, okay, as Kenny the Jet would say, to go home fishing. Got a great show in store for you today. I'm going to talk a little bit about the Miami Heat. I always talk about my fantasy baseball team, regardless of how well or how bad I'm doing. I'm on a modest win streak, trying to keep it up, but we'll talk about that in a few. Let me talk about a few other things. Talk about the man, the legend, the only coach in the NFL to win 4 Super Bowls. 4. Now, I'm not a Steeler fan, but in the 70s, when Chuck Knoll took over the Pittsburgh Steelers, they were basically a laughing stock of the NFL. He brought a calm but stoic and rigid attitude to his team. He went to have a 209 and 156 and 1, and that includes a postseason while he coached the Steelers from 1969 to 1991. But who knew that the former assistant coach of Sid Gilman and Don Shula, and let me put it this way. Let me tell you something. For those of you that don't know, Chuck Knoll was an assistant coach to Don Shula on the team that lost to the 68-69 season Super Bowl III, which the New York Jets won. So he had been to a Super Bowl already. Hadn't won it, but he had been to a Super Bowl already. And he brought an old, different attitude to, and it's a winner's attitude, to the Pittsburgh Steelers. He was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 1993, and that's about, you know, quite naturally. He retired in 91. Less than 2 years after that, he was into the Hall of Fame. Excuse me. And he was not a, for lack of a better words, glitz and glamour type of guy. He was a lunch pail type of guy, which was great for Pittsburgh, because Pittsburgh basically like a lunch pail type of a city. And he knew where he was going. Let me put it this way. He knew where he was, and he knew where he was going and where he wanted to go and how to do it. And I have to give it to this my man. I'm not a big Steeler fan, but they had to respect the greatness and the amazing things that one man, that one coach did for that city, for that team, that organization, I should say. And it just goes to show you, the Steelers have only had Chuck Knoll, who was there for 21 years. Then they had Bill Cowher, who had an extended period there. Now they have Mike Tomlin. So now they're not like a lot of other teams that for either lack of a plan or impatience within the organization change coaches like they change their underwear. It's something to be said for having a coach for an extended period of time to be able to lay down a solid foundation, especially if you get a coach. For the most part, when you get a coach, there's something going on within the organization that needs a change in direction, a plan. There's a dysfunction in there. So this is to the owners of the NFL. You get a coach, you take the time to not worry about a name, not worry about making a big splash. Just get a coach that you feel very confident in, that you're willing to have him grow in the organization. Because if he hasn't had head coaching experience before, don't expect him to be a Chuck Knoll right off the bat. You know, let me put it this way. Chuck Knoll wasn't Chuck Knoll the first few years of his coaching career. He had to grow into different parts of it and fine-tune the way he could be effective in coaching a team of men. And it helps to have a good organization that drafts well. They drafted very well, especially in 74. And when they drafted four Hall of Famers, and that put them on a road to great things. It also shows that in this organization, besides having a coach that you show patience with and believe in, you have to do the same with a quarterback. Terry Bradshaw, for all his four Super Bowls, had quite a bit of baggage early part of his career. Insecurities, ineffective play, inconsistent play, lack of leadership early in his career, lack of confidence from his teammates. But they showed patience with him because they saw something in him. Chuck Knoll in the organization showed something in him. Didn't help that Joe Gilliam, who had some early success, had off-the-field issues, and who knows if he was able to keep himself on the straight and narrow if the Steelers would have gone and done the great things that they accomplished in the 70s, winning four Super Bowls. And like I said, the only coach in NFL history to win four Super Bowls, two of them back-to-back. So he died there's never a good age, but he died of a ripe old age of 82. And he instilled a lot of things in a lot of men. Now, for all those Steeler fans, you have to pay homage to this guy because he's the one just think about this. This is a quote from a former Steelers coach, Bill Cowher, who replaced Knoll and is second to him in victories. All right, he's got 161. All right. He said Chuck Knoll will go down as a guy who helped create the mystique that exists now with the Steelers. Steelers President Art Rooney II said in a statement, "When Chuck became our head coach, he brought a change to the whole culture of the organization. He set a new standard for the Steelers that is still the foundation of what we do and who we are. From the players to the coaches to the front office down to the ball boys, he taught us all what it took to be a winner." And that, my friends, is absolutely, in a nutshell, Chuck Knoll. And like I said, to a lot of these organizations, they have to. The blueprint's sitting out there for a lot of organizations to look at and to emulate. The NFL is a copycat league. It copies successful what teams do successfully. Why? There's something to be said for a coach that's been sitting there. Look at Chuck Knoll. Look at Bill Walsh when he was there for quite a while, and he laid the foundation for the 49ers. Look at what has happened in New England. Okay? you got coaches that sit there and are there for several years, not a year, not two, not three, not four, not five. You got to, in order to be successful, now, you have to be laying the foundation off of a lot of things. And you got to understand something, that I'm not a fan, but you have to admire greatness. And Chuck Noll was a great ultimate leader. He had truth and belief in what he was saying. And over time, all those things he said were validated, things about winning football games and being a solid citizen. That's a quote from Joe Green, who when he was there when Chuck Noll came. He was, Joe Green and me, was there when the Steelers were a losing team, were a sorry-ass team. And he saw the transformation in the team, transformation in the his quarterback, Terry Bradshaw, who they didn't know what was going to go on with him. They weren't too thrilled with him early on. And he languished for a while before he came. But you have to show patience. Speaking of patience, maybe a possibility that let me put it this way. I talked about this in great length yesterday, and I want to still talk about it because I wanted to bring some other things up that I didn't bring up yesterday. I'm talking about the Miami Heat versus San Antonio Spurs. Again, you know, the 8 o'clock game tonight is a huge, extremely huge game. If the Miami Heat don't win, quite naturally, the San Antonio Spurs will be the world champs and knock off the two-time champs off their perch. And then everybody and the so-called experts are going to start questioning what should the Heat do? Should they break them up? Blah, 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 blah. Besides saying they got beat by a better team, but now they're going to do the chinks in the armor of the Miami Heat were thoroughly exposed last year, even though they really got bailed out. And I still say they got lucky last year with Ray Allen. Ray Allen really bailed them out and put San Antonio on their heels, which I don't think is going to happen this time. But I know it's not going to happen this time. I think that the Miami Heat had issues before, but the opponents that they were facing and a karma that was surrounding them is not there this year. And I don't know if you should break this team up. I don't know if it needs to be broken up. I just need to think it probably needs some more pieces. But we'll have to wait. I think, if I'm not mistaken, LeBron can opt out. There's some decisions that need to be made in the off season, which is going to happen very shortly, and we'll have to this talk. And I really don't. The media is out of control. You know, I don't consider myself being in media. I'm a regular guy. I jump on the program on a Thursday, on a Saturday, on a Sunday. But I don't consider myself a part of the media per se. You can, but I really don't. I'm just an average guy just talking about sports or politics or whatever, what social issues are happening. And hopefully, I'm saying what the common sense people are that are in the street are thinking, not the so-called expert media. I think the Miami Heat and the teams is very fortunate to be in an era over the last few years of the Eastern Conference as a whole as being very weak and not having a lot of strong teams versus the Western Conference having a more than a handful of teams that can compete on a high level, week in and week out. And it seems like even the younger teams, like in Portland, are getting better and improving more than some of these teams that are in the East. And to think that, and I have to put this on the media because they always want to get this dream team together and add to it. So now they're talking about Carmelo Anthony opting out from the Knicks and going to the Heat. Come on. Come on. Or possibility. Now, this has been talked about for a while. We're going to Chicago. That would make sense to me. But what do you want to have, a dream team like you had in the Olympics? So you have Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade, LeBron James, and then you add Carmelo Anthony. Come on. You know, the media just needs to stop. Sit back, think about it for a minute, and get a hold of themselves, because a lot of these media geeks are full of themselves. Full of themselves, thinking that you add to the dream team. You got three of them there, and they're going to add to Carmelo. Come on. Give me a break. We got Mr. Vic Gardner coming in here on the Fantasy Sportsbook and Casino.com hotline, where winners play and players win. Hello, Mr. Vic Gardner. How you like that one? I did that right this time.
You did. You got the slogan back, but I still love you, JT. You're my man, 50 grand.
Hey.
Anyway,
what's up?
Ain't nothing. I was calling in, you know, wishing everybody and all the listeners a happy Father's Day.
Same to you, my man.
Yes, thank you. And wanted to catch up and see what you were talking about. See if you talked about Donald Sterling versus the NBA yet. I see you talking about Carmelo possibly joining a different team and stuff like that. So
let me tell you what I was talking about. I don't know how long you've been listening, but I was talking about, you know, I say give me a break, meaning the media give me a break, and I'm really getting tired. I've been on this for quite a while. Not just this, but the so-called expert media. I've always said that ever since I've been, for the most part, talking on whatever show I've been talking about. I'm not a fan of the so-called expert media. I usually go the opposite direction because the experts are really, in my opinion, not the experts, but there's been talk, like within the last week or so, of besides the big three, if you want to call them the big three or whatever, in Miami, if Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade, and LeBron James, of adding Carmelo Anthony, because Carmelo Anthony, for the most part, is going to opt out of his contract and test the free agency market. And I'm saying, give me a break. The media, in my opinion, is always trying to get some type of dream team, always trying to hype up conglomeration or whatever of players to make a super team. In my opinion, there is no way in all God's creation that Carmelo is going to go down there, because Carmelo is not the type of guy that's going to share the basketball that much with that amount of players that are on the team. Now, if he wants to win a championship and he wants to humble himself, which I don't see Carmelo doing because he hasn't done it in the past, and I don't see him doing it now, and take less money. He could have stay with the Knicks and taking less money. But there's no guarantee he's going to win a championship down there. Not with LeBron, because there's no guarantee of that. Anyway.
Whoa. You just called him LeBron. Why did you call him LeBron? Just last week he was the best player in the world. Now he's LeBron?
Wait a minute.
Mitt Romney. Y'all are flip-floppers.
What do you mean flip-floppers? Mm-hmm. What do you mean flip-flop? I told you I wasn't a LeBron fan. I told you I was rooting for the San Antonio Spurs. I said that last week that, in my opinion, just like you said, they're the best team. And your cousin, I haven't heard from him in the last two shows, this show, and hopefully he calls in, but I haven't heard from him yesterday. I was hoping he'd call in because he was all over us because he still believed the Heat were the better team, and I still disputed it, and I still like the San Antonio Spurs. I liked them in the beginning before the series started. I liked them even when they lost to the Heat in the second game, and quite naturally, you and I were pretty prophetic in what we said about them being the better team, because the last two games they played, they were clearly, the second game they played, it was something fluky that happened, in my opinion, that they lost that game because it was a close game, otherwise they could have swept them. That they were the better team. I mean, they completely outplayed the individual play of the Miami Heat, it was self-evident in the last two games. Your thoughts?
I say that I am always right, of course.
Oh, boy, here we go.
But to be quite honest, I had my buddy, remember I texted you in black about that that business venture?
Mm-hmm.
That guy, I had him listen to the shows, and he said my cousin was stupid. He didn't know what he was talking about. I'm like, hey, he's my cousin. He's my family or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I plainly remember and distinctly remember saying that just because LeBron is supposedly, and again, I say supposedly because I believe Kobe is still the best player in the NBA until he retires. Just because LeBron is supposed to be the best player, he's not living up to it. He can score 50 points the entire series. But if nobody else comes along for the ride to put in another 20, 30 apiece, then it's going to be a tough road to hoe for Miami. And, you know, he's faded in the past couple games. Even though Dwayne Wade missed a lot of shots in that game, at least he took the ball to the hoop. He didn't settle for a lot of jump shots. You know, he didn't do all this, well, I got cramps, well, I got this. I mean, hey, you know, the guy is damned if you do, damned if you don't. If he passes the ball, instead of taking a shot, he's weak. If he takes a shot and misses, then he's not that great. Well, he kind of put all this on his own shoulders. And whoever dubbed him King James put it on his shoulders. Putting together this team, and again, I use the word team loosely, because they're not a team. They're a collection of players.
Mm-hmm.
The Spurs are a team. Every player on the Spurs lineup can contribute offensively and defensively. I'm not saying that can't happen in Miami. However, in Miami, you see a constant set of clear-outs, you know, one-on-ones, maybe a two-man game, but it's always the same two men or two of the three men. Norris Cole is a defensive guy. Didn't get many offensive shots. Mario Chalmers. Kid is okay, but he's not considered a weapon for them. They need to make him a weapon. He's a point guard. Distribute the ball. Let him penetrate, kick out. Let him go to the hole and get some fouls and make some free throws. Ray Allen, great six man, but if he's not knocking down, he's not doing much. You know, you can have all this and still be the best in the East. But the West is where it's at, and the whole getup of, you know, the making the dream team with Carmelo and LeBron and all these, I don't think so. I really don't. If anything, I would like to see, and I said this before, Kevin Love and Carmelo on the same team somewhere. I wouldn't mind seeing them in D.C. I really wouldn't. You pair those two with Bradley Beal and John Wall, Trevor, well, you need Nene and Gortat. And Ariza can be on the bench. Nene can come in when we want to go big. That would be great for me. It won't happen in D.C. I would like to see it happen in D.C., but let the man go be a free agent, see who wants him. And even though Kevin Love is the better player, he's not getting the most love. So you see how I played on his name?
I know. You don't have to tell me. I heard you.
Okay. All right. But that's what
Let me say this, because I said it. I know you probably didn't hear me when I said it earlier in the show. Miami Heat are extremely fortunate to be having this team in this time period over the last few years. Because if you look at it, over this time period, the amount of good teams in the East compared to the good teams in the West, there aren't any in the East. There really aren't any that could compete on a consistent basis with the Miami Heat. So they're themselves, they have an easy road. Now I am in a way discounting how good they've been and been able to get to the finals, but they really haven't had that much of a resistance to be able to get to the finals because of the quality of the teams that are in the Eastern Conference compared to the gauntlet that the West has to go through, the amount of teams that they have to go through to be able to get to the finals. Now, I understand that they beat the West the last two years. I understand that. Okay, but I think last year, and I'll say it again, I think they lucked up, especially in game. I think it's game six when Ray Allen hit that three pointer, that Hail Mary, in a sense, and it kind of devastated the San Antonio Spurs, and really torpedoed their the series last season. And then the year before, they ran up against a young Oklahoma City team that wasn't really ready for prime time, especially in the finals. They may have gotten to the finals, but weren't ready to go for the championship, especially Westbrook and Kevin Durant were really trying to still find each other. So the Miami Heat, in my opinion, have been in a pretty fortunate period of time, I should say, especially, like I said, in the East, where there's really no other dominant team that can consistently, or dominant teams that can consistently challenge them for the Eastern Conference Championship. The other teams seem to have some type of flaw. The flaw with the Indiana Pacers seems to be mental. And these other teams don't have the same individual players to match up against the Heat. I'm talking about in the Eastern Conference. So people can crown this team a great team. I don't crown it a great team. He can crown LeBron as a great player. He is a great player, okay? I have to give him that, okay? But he has some flaws that can be exploited, and they're being exploited in the series, along with the team flaws. But they don't get that on a consistent basis in the Eastern Conference. That's why, for the most part, for 4 years, they've been to the same situation, winning two of the last three. This being the fourth, so I don't know about your thoughts about what I'm thinking about, but let me hear them.
Well, to be quite honest, I don't care.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not trying to be crass or nothing like that. It's just
yes, you are, but that's okay.
No, I'm not, Jerry. No, I'm not. it's just, you know. I'm tired of talking about it. That's about it.
Okay. Line. Well, hopefully we can stop talking about it after today. After today,
yeah.
For the simple fact is, I'm hoping really that they close them out, and this may be the last time for you bettors that like to bet on basketball games to go to fantasysportsbookandcasino.com and make a wager on the NBA Finals to reap the rewards of a your wager, whether it be a big one, small one, but go there. You can also wager on the World Cup and whatever else is out there. I mean, I think they have horse racing. They have a lot of different scenarios that you can make wagers on. So go there, sign up,
yes.
put your money in account, and enjoy yourself with online gambling. Talk to me.
Well, I got this, my brother, and I'm glad you put that on there because I think the point spread is 4.5 for the Spurs.
Okay.
And one of the things I started doing, and I got to admit, is pretty damn good, is I don't bet on the game per se. I bet on the quarter. Now, the quarters have been very easy because – they've been saying 1 point, 1.5 points for the first quarter. And
right.
No matter who it is, which has been the Spurs, if you've noticed, the Spurs have led every first quarter in this series.
Mm-hmm.
And they've always covered. So my suggestion to everyone out there, if you want to bet on this game, go to fantasysportsbookandcasino.com. As Jerry said, load up, place a wager. If you got $500 and it's like a 1.5 point spread for the Spurs at the end of the first quarter, place it. The Heat notoriously come out slow, and the Spurs in this series have covered 1-2 points. It's been like maybe a 4, 5, 6 point cover that they've done, actually. And in the second half, for the third quarter, it's usually won by the Heat, except for the last game. The last game, the Heat lost the third quarter. So those are options for folks to go out there and take advantage of. It's, I'm telling you, when football season comes around, I have a way for you to get winners. And I'm going to stop giving my betting tips online for free. There will be a reckoning coming. And my guys and I will be paid. Most assured. I got the information on how that's going to take place. So once we get done and I got a few minutes, I'll send you that text.
All right. And I have to tell you, people, that Mr. Gardner is pretty astute at doing that. I have some unconventional thoughts when it comes to games, and they have panned out. But Mr. Gardner has some very good opinions and observations on not all of them. No one's 100%, but I have to admit that he does. Does well when in his analysis and his thought process when most people go one way, he happens to think outside the box. And I've seen quite a few times where he's thought outside the box, and that box is on point. So I'm looking forward to in the next few months leading up to the regular season. I know he's going to be gearing up, getting his mind right, and then being able to giving us some good analysis and some good picks going into the first week of the NFL season and from start to finish. So
Jets win the AFC East.
Let me put it this way. I don't think they're going to do that again in my lifetime. I really don't.
Well,
I really don't. This is why. And I had talked about this earlier when I was talking about Chuck Knoll, that the organizations nowadays. And I'm surprised a lot more other teams don't do this, meaning that the NFL, and I've said this before and you know that, is a copycat league. And there's two organizations, one back that started in the 70s and one that started in the late 90s, early 2000s, that have had a coach put the team in an organization in a certain direction, and that's the standard of that team and the legacy of that team, meaning Chuck Knoll, when he got hired, that team was nothing, absolutely in the dregs, the one of the worst teams in the NFL. Once they hired Chuck Knoll, they put that team on a certain direction, made it organized, and had a certain mindset, which is the standard for that team today. And just like Bill Belichick, that Patriot team had different coaches, including even Bill Parcells. But Belichick, just like Chuck Knoll, has put that team and made that organization have a certain standard and a certain way of doing things, and is going to carry past his coaching tenure. The next coach is going to be doing the same thing, and probably Josh McDaniel or whoever. But his legacy is entrenched in a Patriots organization, just like Chuck Knoll's legacy is entrenched throughout that Steelers organization. And the reason I'm saying this is I'm surprised other teams don't do this. It seems like everybody's got to win now. You get a coach, you stand behind the coach. You do give all the resources to the coach so he can be successful. Now, sometimes success doesn't come right away. You have to be patient. But that's what the problem with some of this ownership. They're extremely impatient, and once you have a bad season or the expectations aren't met in one season, they're ready to move on and get a new person in here with a new philosophy and a new direction. And, you know, instead of sticking with a guy like Chuck Noll, maybe not 20 years, but sticking with a guy through thick and thin to let him help get a decent foundation. These teams, and I'm surprised, like I said, it's a copycat league. Don't copy. A lot of them don't copy the things that have made these successful teams with multiple championships. Now, I've named two organizations that don't have one, that don't have two. They have at least three championships. Steelers have five, and the Patriots have three. That
Steelers have
coaches.
Steelers have six.
They have six. I'm sorry. They have six, yes. And the Patriots have three with coaches that have been in place for quite a while, not 2-3 years, not 4-5 years, 10 years or more. Now, because of what Chuck Noll laid the foundation in the organization in the 70s, helped make the next coach in the Steelers, all he had to do was carry the torch, just pick it up and keep carrying it. I'm talking about Bill Cowher. He was there for, 10 years, whatever it was. I think it was 10 years. And now he left. Now Tomlin's picking up that torch. He's won a Super Bowl, and he's for the most part, relatively successful. Now, quite naturally, you have some bad years. And you don't just get rid of them. That's not that type of organization. You just don't get rid of them. You retool. You fix the things that are broken, and you keep moving on and keep that continuity. You don't keep running coaches in and out. You run a coach out of, he's 10-6, and you run him out because he's 10-6 and he didn't get in the playoffs. I'm talking about Lovie Smith. Something like that. That makes no sense. But it happens. And it shouldn't happen because, the fact, he's successful. He's successful, but not successful enough that the organization, meaning ownership, wants a Super Bowl. Okay? Throw another coach in there. Another 2-3 years. You don't get a Super Bowl. Throw that coach out. Put another one in there. And after a while, you do what the Cleveland Browns have been doing. In and out, have a carousel of coaches, and a organization is going nowhere. Talk to me.
I say this, Mr. Taylor.
Yeah.
And this goes back to basketball, which I really didn't want to talk about, but it makes sense. You put a team together, such as the Spurs.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Duncan has been in that organization 17 years.
Yep.
17 years. Him and Parker have become, like, the very good tandem, two and Manu Ginobili and some other cats in there. And it's a team of winning. Popovich has been a very great coach for a long time. But since all the big-name coaches have left, you know, he's finally getting the recognition for, you know, what he did, for what he's done in the NFL. Too many people are quick, as you said, to pull the hook on a coach if they are not completely 100% winning, which I understand. I get it. But when you look at the method in which a team is constructed, you know, good teams start off with the offensive line, defensive line. Why? Because those are the guys that are going to make plays or cause the quarterbacks and running backs and all those other guys to make plays because of the pressure
mm-hmm.
or protection.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have a shutdown corner if the quarterback has the ball 4 or 5 seconds to find a receiver. Quarterback's not going to be able to do that.
Right.
Quarterback's not going to stay on a guy for 4 or 5 seconds, man-to-man, and, you know, in and out of breaks and stuff like that consistently. So that's why you have to have that team concept from the offensive line, the head coach, the front office, commitment to excellence. That's what Al Davis talked about, but he got rid of his people faster than anybody.
Right.
You know, but you got to have that commitment to let a team grow and develop. So that's what I think on that, JT.
Well, Like I said in before, and I think you've heard me say this before. when you have a superstar, and this will, I'm going back to basketball now. When you have a superstar on the team, if the superstar buys into what the coach is preaching, everybody else is going to fall in line because that the best player is buying in. The other 11 players don't have a choice but to buy into it because if they want to be able to play on the team, the superstar really has the leverage to make or break you as you being one of the players. So if you don't buy in and the superstars buy into what the coach is preaching, then you'll be lost. And because Popovich got David Robinson, who got Tim Duncan, he pulled him under his wing when he was young, and to buy in because David Robinson was the type of dude that whatever he was a military guy. So he bought in to whatever his leader was telling him, hook, line, and sinker, okay? And he gave that same type of mindset to Tim Duncan, and he's carried it on for 17 years with Popovich. And it's been extremely successful because they're going for their fifth championship. The commitment that some of these teams, I'm going back to NFL now, for some reason, don't have the same type of commitment to a coach and give them the resources and the confidence and the type of patience that you do your thing, make sure you have what you need. We're going to make sure we give you the players and the players to buy into what you're saying. And don't worry about what happens. Just make progress from year to year, even if you have a setback. This is so typical, okay? Mike Tomlin, the last 2 years, his team's been shaky. Hasn't been they play well at times, but times they haven't. And they haven't made the playoffs, if I'm not mistaken, in the last 2 years. But his job is safe because that organization doesn't just do things don't do things on emotion and just, okay, we get rid of him and put another coach in it because that's not how they do business. A lot of other teams do that, and that's why they're not successful. And I don't understand why that you have organizations sitting out there that have championships that, and you have organizations out there that keep changing over and over trying to find that, make that big splash with a coach rather than groom the coach that they supposedly had faith in when they first brought him on board and give him the tools, the necessary tools to be successful. Some of these teams just bring a coach in there and don't give him the amount of support, meaning players, to be successful. Then they get rid of him and bring another coach in there and just repeat the same process, and they'll never be successful. I don't understand. I don't understand it, but we're going to move on. I want to talk about my fantasy baseball team and fantasy league that we're in, since you are on here also. Hold on a minute here, because I want to do this. I got to do this.
You're a terrible basketball. You're a terrible baseball team that's going to lose something awful.
Excuse me?
You're a terrible baseball team that's going to lose something awful.
Today?
Well, just in general.
Let me put it this way. I've taken down the number one seed. He's no longer the number one because of me, okay? I took him down last week, and that was my second win in a row at two consecutive weeks. I was down. I'm surprised. I watched this. I was down 12-6, 12-7, 13-6, 13-7 yesterday. Going into yesterday, I am now up 11-9 on Sunday. So yeah. even though my pitching has been very suspect, because I've streamed quite a few pitchers, throughout the week, and I've consistently had some bad luck with some of my pitchers that I'm on the verge of having a 3-week winning streak here with as bad as the pitching staff that I have with no my top pitcher soon to come off the disabled list, I think, by the end of the next week. But I've been streaming pitchers for the last, forever because no one will trade with me. but that's okay. but that's okay because what they want from me for a pitcher is unrealistic. Let me put this out there, people. Let me put this out there, fantasy baseball players, that for someone that is not up in the first or second or third or whatever on the top half of your league. I'm in the bottom half of my league. Understand,
no,
you have
it. You are the bottom of the league.
No, I'm not. I'm number nine. If you are Andrew McCutchen or Ryan Braun, someone of that ilk, and you're looking to get a top-flight pitcher, do not. And I say it again, do not. And I say it again, do not trade a top player, an everyday player, for a top pitcher. Never, ever, ever. I don't care if it's Clayton Kershaw. You never trade a top player like Andrew McCutchen or Ryan Braun or Mike Trout for a top pitcher like an Adam Wainwright or Clayton Kershaw, because it's a lopsided trade. It's not even close. Not even close. An everyday player is that. He's an everyday player. You have a pitcher who pitches every fifth day. Maybe he wins. Most of the time, a lot of time he wins, but he only wins once. Your everyday player can help you win every day. Your one pitcher can only help you win once. So, or maybe twice if he pitches twice. So you never, ever, ever, ever trade a top player, a top 10 player, for a top 10 pitcher.
Mr. Taylor, can I make a comment?
Go ahead.
So, since you do have those players and you're looking for top talent, why would you offer Matt Kemp and one of your garbage pitchers for a top pitcher?
This is the problem. This is the problem here. This is the problem because because you and your boy Andrew have no idea what's going on. You have no clue what's going on. Okay, I'm giving you a good pitcher, not a garbage pitcher. I was giving you either John Lester or someone else. John Lester's a decent pitcher on a winning type, on a team that can generate offense, the Boston Red Sox. It's not like I'm giving you a pitcher that's on the Mets or on the San Diego Padres, who's one of the worst scoring teams along with the Arizona Diamondbacks. I'm not giving you one of the type of pitchers. I'm giving you a pitcher that's on a good offensive team. Plus, if you have been noticing, Matt Kemp has been on a roll. He's finally coming back to Matt Kemp. But he's batting .258, 6 home runs, 22 RBIs, which is not bad. And if I'm not mistaken, how many stolen bases does Matt Kemp have now? Well, he only has 5. Well, that's gonna let me see. Well, hold on. He has only 5 stolen bases, but he's getting better. And he's been on a roll. He's been hitting the ball and driving in runs for the last month. So when I offered Matt Kemp and you guys with a pitcher, I said, fine. You say Matt Kemp sucks? Well, you're looking at Matt Kemp when he was earlier in the season, when he was still trying to recover from his injury that he had and wasn't playing on a consistent basis because Carl Crawford has been hurt. He's been in the outfield and playing on a consistent basis. He's been coming through. So if you just All I can tell you is this. Look at his statistics and tell me I'm wrong. Because Matt Kemp doesn't suck. I was giving you a very good quality everyday player, and you needed a center fielder that could play.
Mr. Taylor.
Don't listen to so-called experts. Look at it for yourself.
No, I understand what you're saying. But you're asking for Felix Hernandez or you, Darvish, for the garbage you're giving me. You didn't tell the people
that's the problem. You say Matt Kemp is garbage, and I'm telling you Matt Kemp is not garbage. And he's only getting better. He's on the upswing. He's not on the downswing. He's on the upswing. He's only getting better with more playing time. More playing time.
If you're giving me Matt Kemp and Lester for A.J. Burnett or
That's not even close. Why would I make that trade if I'm just getting A.J. Burnett? A.J. Burnett's playing on what team?
Philly.
The Phillies. Phillies suck. So his chances of winning are greatly diminished. Greatly diminished. Come on.
Well,
I know better than that.
Mr. Taylor.
If he's on the Pirates, it'd be a different story. Excuse me?
You're asking for Kingfish or you, Darvish. I can't do that.
Wait a minute. But just listen to what I'm saying here. I'm giving you a quality pitcher. It's not like he's a slouch. Lester, let me give you John Lester's record. He's 7-7, all right? 3.33, 99 strikeouts. So he's got a lot of strikeouts and 24 base on balls, which is very good. Okay? He's on the Boston Red Sox team. Okay? And I'm giving you Matt Kemp, who's an everyday player, and you need a center fielder better than what you have. So I'm giving you two guys that you can use. You may lose something in the pitching, but you're not losing that you're going to suffer greatly because you have pitching. But you need more hitting. That's why I gave you Matt Kemp. I'm not going to give you John Lester and Ryan Braun or Andrew McCutchen. That's stupid.
Mr. Taylor. That's stupid,
and you know that.
I wouldn't even want Lester. Most likely I would take, you know, McCutchen or Braun for one of my – well, I would take McCutchen. I'd give you one of my big boys. I'd take Braun and give you one of my second-tier guys. The bottom line is I'm happy with Ben Revive at center field. I'm happy with Desmond Jennings at center field. I don't need Matt Kemp, who's in a platoon situation. That's what he's in, a platoon situation. I don't need that, so I'm quite fine with it.
No problem. Just like I told Andrew, I'm telling you, I'm going to walk you down. I'm going to walk you down. By the end of the season, I'm going to walk both of you down. And he said to me, not with that pitching. Well, he's sadly mistaken because if you stream right, and you can get by. I have a very good lineup week in and week out with the players I have on the offensive side. My pitchers, I got a few good pitchers that I'm looking at them and they're pretty consistent. Every now and then they throw in a fluke. They're not Felix Hernandez. They're not the type of pitchers you have. But Colin McHugh from Houston, don't discount Houston. Houston's been scoring a lot of points and upsetting a lot of people on what they're doing. And Colin McHugh is a good pitcher, even though he didn't pitch well the last time. Ian Kennedy, unfortunately, San Diego does not score that many runs. But he gives me a good strikeouts and a walk-to-strikeout ratio. Willy Peralta. I like Milwaukee as a team, as an offense. So he gives me decent innings. Now the surprise guy I have here is from your Washington Nationals. That for the most part, I hope he stays in the lineup because he's been pitching outstanding. That's Tanner Roark. I think I picked up a gem there. Got a 2.92 ERA with a WHIP of 1.06. I can't go wrong with that. He's got it on a decent team, especially the Washington Nationals. And if I get my boy Gio Gonzalez back, I'm telling you. I know you're laughing because I don't have the big name pitchers, but I'm finding hidden gems in a lot of pitchers that are flying under the radar. And with my offense, and all I have to do is get a little pitching, and I'm going to walk you and Andrew down.
Okay. I mean, talk is cheap, but if you load it up to fantasysportsbookandcasino.com and winners win and players play, that'll prove me wrong. That's all I'm saying. Load it up. You place one bet, $50 on tonight.
And I'm telling you, it looks like, let me look, because I'm looking at it now. It looks like you're on your way to a loss, and it looks like Andrew may be on his way to a loss. It's nip and tuck, just like it's nip and tuck with my opponent this week. So it looks like Andrew may go down for the third week in a row, and it looks like you may go down for the second week in a row, I think. And it's going to be very interesting come Monday when Mr. FSP Blink and Die versus Mr. Moneyball.
I'm going to just put you in your place where you belong, the bottom.
Did you know that we face each other next week?
I'm not worried about that. You do not.
Oh, you better
me.
Worry about that because you lose this week. If I win this week, it'll be 3 weeks in a row, and I may not change spots, but I close the gap. Let me put it that way. I close the gap.
Well, I'll beat the number 14, move up to number 5.
Oh no, you won't.
And,
you're losing.
Yeah.
You're losing this week. You're not going to move up. You're losing this week.
I'm going to win. Believe
okay.
That.
Yeah. Okay.
Believe
you got to you got to pick up 7 categories just today.
Don't worry. I will.
Okay. We'll see.
I will.
We'll see.
Just know that you are going to pay the price.
What kind of price?
I'm the better man.
Okay, you keep saying that. You keep saying that. When's the last time you finished ahead of me in any fantasy?
Listen, $50, fantasysportsbookandcasino.com, put some money on the first quarter for the Spurs to cover. That's all you need to do. I'm not worried about your fantasy team because your fantasy team is a fantasy.
That's all right, people. We're just having fun here, and I am going to walk my two main rivals down. They talked about me, dogged me out, but that's okay, because when I have walked them down and are right there with them, they're going to wonder how the heck I did that. Especially when I was so far down, three to 4 weeks ago.
Well, no. I mean, it can be done because remember I started out the season at the bottom, and I had to claw my way out of that gutter, beat you down, and a few other people, and you know, I'm on my way. I'm going to get in that top four. By the way, speaking of which, have you selected your keepers yet for the Yahoo League?
Not that I can recall. How many keepers do we have?
Two
keepers? I have to look and see who I want to keep. You don't have to keep any, right?
The computer will generate two keepers for you if you don't.
Well, that's not right. If I don't want to keep anybody?
Let me look at it and see, but normally the computer automatically selects your top two players from last year. But we'll see.
Let me see who I have here. Oh, ooh.
Sound like a little girl.
Wow, I didn't realize that. Oh, my God. I had a – wow. Really?
And you still didn't do good last year. So
yes, I did.
I
went to the championship last year. I lost it. So what are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly.
I went to the championship
lost,
and lost it.
And you lost.
So, yeah. What did you do? Did you get in the playoffs? No.
That's neither here nor there.
No. Did you get in the playoffs? Nope. Nope. So who didn't do well last year? At least I got to the dance.
Half my team was hurt, so.
No excuses. That happens to everybody. You got to be a good manager, be able to have some good backup, and be able to get players off the waiver wire that work for you. That's what a good fantasy manager does.
It's all right. Unlike me, I'm a winner.
Yeah. Okay. Levy, I got two trophies sitting. I got two trophies sitting in front of me, and one of them was in the same league as you.
Whatever.
Let me take pictures of both of them and send them to you. See how they look.
That's okay. That's all
right. Adrian Peterson and Le'Veon Bell. Wow, that's a heck of a combination, man. I like that.
But who are you going to keep?
Those two. Are you kidding me?
Okay.
Those two. Absolutely, those two. Unless I have a. I got Demaryius Thomas and Pierre Garçon, and I'll get. Oh, wow, 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 man! I have some players here.
Are you chasing?
I still kick myself. People, and I'll probably say it again. Don't take chances in your fantasy Super Bowl. Don't take chances in your fantasy Super Bowl. Yeah, I did. I took a chance with Kirk Cousins versus playing someone else, and it cost me because Kirk Cousins had a very bad game. Very bad game. So don't take chances on your fantasy Super Bowl versus the regular season when you can take chances because you can recoup from the next week. It's one and done in the playoffs and especially in the Super Bowl. So cost you money, cost you a championship.
And your pride in your case, Mr. Taylor.
Yeah, because I still kicked myself. I could have had four of them because I did it in two other leagues, in this Yahoo league, and I did it in your other league in ESPN, or was it in Black's League? I think it did in Black's League. I could have had four.
Sure.
But I had two. And these two gave me trophies. Physical trophies. That I'm going to take a picture and probably put it on my on my page. Maybe my Blog Talk Radio page. I'll put my two trophies from my picture. With me in between them.
You know what? Yeah, that would be perfect. Two nuts and a dick. That'll be great. That'll be the picture. Anyway,
what are your questions? I got a question for you. Since we're just shooting the bull here, this is your off day?
Not actually. We don't have any off days, but
okay.
In the morning, I don't have that much to do. So
okay. Okay.
I'm supposed to be studying, but I said fuck it. I mean, excuse me, screw it.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna.
You say that on my show on a holy day. You say that on my show. That's okay.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I said I'm sorry. Lord, please forgive me.
Well, anyway, Mr. Gardner, you enjoy your day. Unfortunately, you're not with your family, but you enjoy your Father's Day. Don't work too hard in the afternoon. Maybe we'll keep in touch on tomorrow and maybe put up something on the side on this, on this match.
All I'm saying is you need to put $50.
But, I mean, excuse me?
Put $50 on your fantasy sportsbook and casino.com account and play that first quarter, Jerry. I'm telling you.
Okay.
You need to do it. You need to do it. Take a chance. I'll show you the pictures in Atlantic City. Those dollars could have went to the sports book.
Let me educate you on Atlantic City and me, and all you people who may see my Facebook page in Atlantic City and me. I'm not an Atlantic City person. Okay. That was on a Sunday night. Because my wife and I were down there for our wedding anniversary, which was this past Monday, which happens to be our 30th wedding anniversary. And I'm not the type of guy to go down to Lake City and gamble. My wife is the one that goes down there and plays that. I like going down to Lake City, believe it or not, to eat at the restaurants. That's why I like to go to Atlantic City.
Well,
and that's,
take this 50,
and that's the truth. Huh?
Take this 50, turn it into 95. Let's do it, Slim.
Mm-hmm. All right. All right, let me see. How do I save these keepers?
Just hit keepers and then select them.
Yeah, but where... I'm looking at my team page, and it doesn't seem like...
Right-hand corner.
Oh, there it is. There it is. I see it. Okay. Your commission has...
I gotta go. I gotta go.
Talk to you later. It's been nice talking to you. Have a good day. Enjoy your day.
All right. I'll see you later, bro.
Take care. Thanks for calling. Anyway, people... All right, this is JT, a.k.a. The Master. Tune in next week, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we're going to be talking about news and notes of the past week of sports and whatever else may come up. We may be talking about some social issues. Who knows? Enjoy your family. Enjoy your the Father's Day. To all you guys out there that have been listening and going to enjoy the rest of the day, hopefully it's a great day. And we're out.
Love it to Apple, please.